Acts chapter number 20. And if you are here tonight and you're visiting, we thank you for joining us tonight. We're so glad that you're here. You are an honored guest, but we certainly want to encourage you to come back on a Sunday to hear Pastor Mix. He and his family are not with us, but he would love to get a chance to meet you and be able to encourage you with his ministry, his preaching ministry. So we encourage you to come back if you can. Acts chapter number 20, we're going to preach a sermon this evening entitled Givers and Takers. Givers and Takers. And I want to give you a disclaimer here before we start. This is a message when I was pastoring in upstate New York. I attended a pastor's fellowship, very similar to the fellowships that are found, you know, in just about every state. And a man by the name of Dan Smith. Dan Smith was the pastor of Buckley Road Baptist Church in, somewhere in New York. I can't remember the exact city. But he was up there in upstate New York near Syracuse. And he is no longer the pastor there. Now his son is the pastor, and he is pastor emeritus. And so they're still working together. He's not preaching every single service and so forth and so on, but he's there. He and his son are working together. So he preached this message entitled Givers and Takers. And it's pastors and pastors' wives and folks that are in full-time ministry. And I thought to myself as I sat there, I thought, this is a message that every Christian needs to hear. Amen. Every single Christian needs to hear this message. I asked him, I said, Pastor Smith, do you mind if I borrow your notes? Do you mind if I you know, preach that sermon? Of course, we're going to preach it with a little bit different style, a little bit different perspective. He's the type of preacher that preaches and doesn't have any points, you know, kind of like what Pastor Mix does. And I can't preach like that. I got to have points. Otherwise, I'll just be a mess. I'll be all over the place. And so we have some points tonight, and you should have an outline that was given to you inside of your bulletin. If you're a note taker, I encourage you to do that. And if you're not, that's fine too. But this is basically Pastor Dan Smith's message with Pastor Pedro Morales' spin on it, okay? And so I hope it's an encouragement to you. And I believe every single Christian ought to hear this message at least one time in their life. Acts chapter number 20, look at verse number 32, if you will. Verse number 32, the Bible says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel, yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me." Verse 35 is our key verse. It says, "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him unto the ship." Givers and takers. Givers and takers. The Apostle Paul traveled to this area of the world called Ephesus, and he went there on his second missionary journey. And eventually, he went back and he traveled there on his third missionary journey, and he started the church at Ephesus. The book of Ephesians is written to the church at Ephesus, and he ministered to these people. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul spent 3 years at Ephesus. 3 years he spent there ministering. 3 years he spent there witnessing and trying to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's now leaving them to never return again. They were sad, it says in verse number 38, because he said, "This is the last time you'll see me. I'm not going to come back this way." And so they're sad about that. He's leaving them and he's not going to be returning. But he gave them some very important instructions. And we see that in Acts chapter number 20. And the one instruction that we want to focus on this evening is Acts chapter number 20 and verse number 35. Look at it again with me, if you will. He says, "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. How he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." Now, if you read through the Gospels, you read through the four Gospel accounts, you'll never one time find the Lord Jesus Christ as having been quoted as saying these words. Amen. It's not in there. But we know that the book of John tells us that not everything that the Lord Jesus said and not everything that the Lord Jesus did is recorded for us. There wouldn't be enough room in the books to be able to house everything if everything he did and said was recorded. So nonetheless, we understand that the Word of God is inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, and that that Luke, as the writer of the book of Acts, was inspired by the Lord. And if he said that the Lord Jesus said this, then the Lord Jesus said it, whether we have it recorded or not. And so we see this tremendous, tremendous principle that the Lord Jesus taught his followers. He said it's more important, it's more blessed for you and for my kingdom for you to be a giver rather than a taker. Amen. Be a giver rather than a taker. You know, after so many years in ministry and so many years in several different states, one thing that I have learned is that people are the same. They're the same everywhere. They're the same in Maryland as they are in Florida, where we've ministered, as they are in New York, where we've ministered, as they are in Connecticut, where we've ministered, as they are in Virginia and even in Ohio, where we've ministered. They're all the same. Oh, they may have different names, different faces. In some aspects, they have different accents, right? You know, in Ohio, they call soda pop, right? Right? Instead of just soda. You know, we from around here, we call it soda. They say things slightly different. But as far as the problems, as far as the issues, as far as the struggles, they're all the same. They're all the same. People act the same. People basically, for the most part, do the same things. You see pretty much the same stuff everywhere you go. Different faces, different names, same struggles, same problems. Why? Because they're all sinners. Let me rephrase that. We are all sinners, amen? Every last one of us, and we have this in nature. We have this proclivity towards selfishness, this proclivity towards self-centeredness, and we want to do what's best for us. And listen, there's not necessarily anything wrong with that, but we got to make sure that we're serving other people at the same time, at least serving other people to some degree in our life. We can't live a self-centered, narcissistic type of a life and everything is about me, myself, and I. We can't live that way. If we do live that way, we're not pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ. He said it's more blessed. It's more of a blessing. It's more profitable. It's more helpful. It's more encouraging for not only other people, but for the kingdom of God, for the work of the Lord, for the ministry. If you and I decide to be givers rather than takers. You see, the world, you can split the world into two groups, okay? You got the saved and you got the unsaved. So these are the people that have heard the gospel. They believe the word of God. They've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart. They've asked him for forgiveness of their sins, and they've been given eternal life by the Lord himself. And they're kept by the power of God. They're eternally secure. When they leave this earth, they're going to heaven to be with the Lord. And this group over here is the unsaved group. They're part of the devil's family because we're all born into the devil's family. They may or may not have heard the gospel. And those that have heard, they have rejected it. They have not accepted it. Some have not heard the gospel, but they have never placed their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to save their eternal soul. So you got the saved and you got the unsaved. But you know, you can take the saved, the group of the saved, and you can split that group into two also. You have saved givers and you have saved takers. You have people that their natural tendency is to bless others, to help others, to be an encouragement to others, to sacrifice for the needs of others. And then you have those who are takers, and all they think about is, what can I get out of it? How is this going to help me? And how will this bless me? And how will this benefit me? And all they think about is how something is going to benefit them. Listen, every single church that I've been a part of is filled with both. You have givers and you have takers. Every single ministry, every single state, every single group of people, you have givers and you have takers. Every church has both of them. So as we go through this message tonight, I hope and pray, and I've been praying throughout the course of today and days leading up to today, that every single one of us would inspect our own heart and let the Holy Spirit of God, let God himself inspect our heart and help us to determine, man, if I'm a taker, I need to become a giver. And if I'm a giver, Maybe I need to be a better giver or a greater giver. Man, I need to stay being a giver. Don't allow yourself to flip over to being a taker. So let's look at point number one. Point number one, we see the reason for giving and taking. The reason for giving and taking. Why do some people give and why do some people take? The reason for giving and taking. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, verses 6 and 7. Very familiar passage to those of us who have been saved in any length of time. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. Look at the last phrase, for God loveth a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. You know, God expects you and I to give with a happy heart. I remember when I first trusted Christ as my Savior, first got saved, tithing was hard. Y'all with me? That was a new concept to me. And by the way, I was only 18 years old, so making money was still a relatively new concept to me. You with me? And so, hey, I'm making money. It's like, oh, and I got to give God what? You mean I got to do who? And remember, I grew up very poor. I grew up on welfare. So, man, for me to have money, it was like I white knuckle gripped that stuff. I would not let it go. And God says, pry your fingers off, buddy, and let that 10% go. It's difficult. It's hard. And there were times where I would give and I would tithe, but I wasn't very cheerful as I did it. You with me? There were times where, man, I'm going to give it, but I really don't want to. Listen, givers derive their happiness through serving, through helping, through blessing other people. Givers enjoy giving. They give their time. They give their energy. They give their attention. They give their encouragement. They invest in other people. These are the types of people that get more joy at Christmas time to seeing other people get what they want versus themselves getting what they want. That's the spirit of a giver. Y'all with me tonight? The spirit of a giver. And although they, of course, do enjoy receiving gifts themselves, they enjoy seeing other people happy more than they enjoy themselves being happy. They are rich in the fact that they have everything that they need, or at least they feel that way. The giver does. They just want to help other people. Now, that's the giver. The taker, on the other hand, they derive their happiness from getting and from receiving. They're not happy unless someone is helping them, blessing them, giving to them, providing for them. They want something for nothing. The givers, the givers, the givers. They're the people that, they're the ones that play the lottery. Amen. They want something for nothing. That's the taker. The giver, or excuse me, the takers, they're the ones with the hand stretched out. Say, gimme, gimme, gimme. Now listen, givers, they do receive and they do accept blessings, but they don't want to receive blessings. They're reluctant to receive blessings. That's the giver. The taker, they're the people that love to gamble. They love to go to the casinos. They want something for nothing. Takers, they're constantly talking about money. They like to talk about money. They like to talk about themselves. They seem to always be trying to get rich and get wealthy. The taker, the taker. They're always into a new scheme or a new plan to strike it rich. And they look for ways to get a little bit of an advantage over other people. That's the taker. The taker. Are you thinking to yourselves, this is a rhetorical question, but are you thinking to yourselves, where do I land? Where am I? Am I a taker? Am I a giver or am I a taker? Or am I somewhere in the middle? Think this through as we go through the scriptures tonight. Listen, there's a lot of athletes that are takers. A lot of professional athletes who will do steroids to get an advantage over their opponent. There's athletes who will do all kinds of crazy things just so they can get a leg up on their opponent. Baseball players will cheat by taking steroids in order to be able to hit more home runs or steal more bases. And baseball players that cork their bats so they can be able to make their ball go farther. And there's pitchers, baseball pitchers, who they'll hide substances on their bodies and put those substances on their hands. So when they throw the pitch, you know, it's harder to hit or maybe it makes it more difficult for the batter. Listen, these people are takers. They're takers. All they care about is themselves. All they care about is their glory. All they care about is how much money they're going to get paid in that next contract. They're takers. They're takers. The reason these people do these things is because they are takers. They want the glory. They want to be honored. They want to be revered. These people are not givers. They're takers. Now, we can understand why the unsaved group and those that don't know the Lord and those that don't read the Word and those that don't have the Holy Spirit, why they can be takers. We can understand that. But what about Christians? Those that are saved, those that do have the Holy Spirit, those that do have the Word of God, and what about them? Listen, we can understand the world would be like this, but the problem is that we have churches all around, not only America, but the world, where there's many Christians that are takers. That are takers. You know, as a pastor, as an assistant pastor, whatever position I've held, I so much love the people that say, Pastor Morales, what do you need? I'll help. Man, you love those people. But the people that say, well, you know, I would help if, you know, but I got to work overtime or I got to do this or I got to do that. They always find an excuse. You know, you don't, you kind of, you love them, of course, just not as much. Amen. Hey, we're not perfect. Amen. We're not the Lord, right? So, but man, all that does is it magnifies the giver in your eyes. Man, it makes them that much more special. The person that's the giver, the person that says, hey, this is inconvenient for me, showing up at 4 o'clock for choir practice. Hey, man, got to get that plug in there. This is inconvenient. This is a sacrifice, but I'm willing to do it. But I'm willing to do it because I want to give. I want to bless. I want to help. Man, I want to be a part of the solution, not part of the problem. Y'all with me tonight? Listen, if you're a giver, you'll be willing to sacrifice. You'll be willing to inconvenience yourself. You'll say, man, what do we need? Pastor, what do you need? Church, what needs to be filled? Man, I'm there. If I can be there, I am there. But the taker says, I'm busy. I got stuff to do. And by the way, we all know that every single one of us is busy. Every single one of us has stuff to do. Every single one, especially, you know, now Leo and Lexi and of course, all these that are having children, you know, Victor and Chris, they're going to be real busy real soon, amen? Amen, praise the Lord, that's awesome. And then, you know, those coming at 3:30 in the morning, man, I'm glad my kids are older, amen, praise God. But let me tell you something, the giver says, I'll do whatever it takes. I'll do whatever it takes. I learned this phrase a long time ago, and I've had to remind myself of it. If there's something that I want to do bad enough, I'll find a way to do it. And if there's something that I don't want to do bad enough, I'll find an excuse not to do it. Is there anybody else like me? Come on. When we're doing that, we're being a taker. But when we want to do something so bad that we want to inconvenience and cross any hurdle and do whatever it takes, man, we're being a giver. Being a giver. And I'm not here to condemn anyone tonight. I'm just here to encourage us, man, let's be more givers. If we're a giver, then praise the Lord, keep giving. If you give some, man, give more. I like what my pastor in Baltimore used to say. He would say, man, I want to be, when I'm an old man, I want to be like a rag that's just wrung out. And every ounce of energy has just been spent for the Lord Jesus Christ and for his kingdom. Man, that's how I want to be. That's how I want to barely just make it across the finish line. Man, I got nothing left. Lord, I gave you everything that I had. That's going to be inconvenient. That's going to be difficult. But that's what it requires to be a giver. You see, takers, they sometimes do give gifts as well. And they sometimes give, but they always have an ulterior motive behind their giving. You see, they think, well, if I give this to this guy, well, then he's going to owe me. Y'all know somebody like that? You know, they think, if I give to the Lord, if I go to church, if I'm faithful, if I tithe, if I read my Bible, if I witness, then God is going to bless me. And yes, that's true. But then they also think, well, God's also going to stop bad things from happening to me. No guarantees there. No guarantees there. And when something bad does happen, they tuck tail and run. They get upset, they get angry, they point the finger at God, They get angry at the preacher. They get angry at the church. They get angry at all the Christians. They get angry at the school, Sunday school teacher. They get angry at everybody. They say, I don't want anything to do with this. I can't trust God. Well, you know what? They were a taker all along. They were never a giver. Because if that's why we're giving, that's the wrong motive. That's the wrong motive. We need to be giving because he deserves our service. He deserves our worship. He deserves our love and adoration. All that he's done for us, it doesn't matter if he gives me one more thing the rest of my life. He's been good to me. Y'all with me tonight? Let's give because he deserves our sacrifice. You know, there's a lot of companies and individuals that give towards a political campaign with the intent to get a favor later on down the road. As a Christian, the last thing that we should do is work for the Lord so we can get something in return. Listen, we got everything that we needed at Calvary. We got everything that we needed at Calvary. If he never gave us one more thing, he's been good to us. Our motive is love. Our motive is gratitude. So we see the reason for giving, the reason for taking. Let's look at point number two. We see the range of giving and taking. How much? The range, the parameters of how much the giver and the taker are willing to give and take. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 25. We're going to get a little political here, okay? Not really. But nonetheless, it says in verse number 25 of Proverbs 11, the liberal soul. See, I tricked you, didn't I? No. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Now, we know that that's not talking about conservative and liberal politics. It's talking about the giving soul, the one that just lets it loose, the one that says, hey, is there a need? I'll do it. I'll fill it. I'll work. I'll serve. I'll sacrifice. I'll put it in the plate. I'll put it on the tithing app. Whatever it takes, I'll do it. The liberal soul shall be made fat. Amen. That's why I'm overweight. No, I'm just kidding. No, that's because of this exercise right here. Amen. All right. Anyway, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Be giving. Man, be willing to give till it hurts. Are you willing to give till it hurts? Are you willing to give until, man, I don't know how we're going to make ends meet. I don't know how things are going to work out, but God told me to give it. God told me to sacrifice. God told me to join. God told me to participate. God told me to show up earlier, whatever the case may be. Listen, do for the Lord what the Holy Spirit moves you to do. He'll take care of the rest. He'll take care of the rest. Isaiah 32 and verse 8, the Bible says, but the liberal deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand. Now, I will say this, not everyone is 100% giver, and not everyone is 100% taker. Every last one of us has a little bit of taker in us. Amen? We all have a little bit of taker in us. However, the person that is the giver, he worries about taking too much. The person that is a giver, he's very slow to receive things from other people. The taker, he doesn't care. He'll take and take and take and keep on taking. He doesn't think he's getting too much. The giver wants to support. He wants to support every missionary. He wants to support every building project. The giver, he wants to fill every need that he sees. The taker, on the other hand, the taker will say, well, you know, I don't know if we can afford to do that. The taker, on the other hand, he'll say, you know, how do we know that that person is going to use the money we give them the right way? Oh, you sound so pompous when you say those things. Like, okay, at the end of the day, we have no control of how they do that. What we do have control over is how much we're willing to give and how much we're willing to sacrifice for the kingdom of God. Now, obviously, we want accountability and we want to make sure we're holding people accountable and they're doing the right things, of course. But let me tell you something. I'm not holding back my giving because I think maybe, possibly, this person may not use it correctly. Listen, that's between them and God. And once we give it, it's God's anyway. Well, before we give it, it's God's. Y'all with me? So it's his. If he says give it, give it. If he says show up, if he says participate, if he says volunteer, if he says join, then do it. Because that is what's best for you. That's what's best for all. The taker always wants things to be the best quality, but they're not willing to contribute towards it. I think, generally speaking, there's no one that's 50-50 either. No one's 100% taker. No one's 100% giver. And I don't think, generally speaking, there's anyone that's 50-50. The majority of people are not half giver or half taker. Everyone, for the most part, is either primarily a giver or primarily a taker. Now, let me ask you a question. Again, this is a rhetorical question. But what do you think God wants us to be? A giver or a taker? It's pretty obvious to me. In Acts 20:35, the Lord himself said, it's more blessed. It's better to give than it is to receive. It's better, it's more blessed, it's more beneficial to give than it is to receive. We are never more like God. We are never more godly than when we are giving or when we are forgiving. Let me repeat that, because somebody can tweet this, all right? We are never, that was a joke. Anyway, we are never, if I have to tell you it's a joke, then it's not funny. If we are never more like God, we are never more godly than when we're giving or when we're forgiving. You see, because God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. He set the perfect example. He set the perfect example. He says, I gave it all. I sacrificed it all. I was willing to get rid of everything for you. For you. What are you willing to give up for him? You see, every time that we choose to give generously, rather than hoarding what we have, we're being more like God. Have you ever noticed that the word miser, the person that hoards, the person that's stingy, the word miser and miserable, they have the same root. Miser and miserable. Y'all with me tonight? I don't want to be miserable, so I better not be a miser. Let's make sure we're willing to give. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. He says, they that are rich in this world. You know that those of us that live in the United States of America, compared to the rest of the world, for the most part, we're pretty rich. We're pretty rich. Now, okay, you know, we may not have millions, but compared to the rest of the world, we're doing really well. We're doing really well. Even more important than that, those of us who are saved, we are spiritually rich. We are spiritually rich. Are we investing in the spiritual? Are we sacrificing to have other people be spiritually rich? Or are we satisfied? Are we like, well, you know, I'm good. I'm covered. I got my eternity settled. You know, I'll make sure that my family, my kids, my grandkids, they're all covered, and okay, and that's it. We're behaving like a taker. We're behaving like a taker. See, a giver doesn't get offended very often. The spirit of a giver, excuse me, is one that has a heart of love towards others. The spirit of a taker is one that has a heart of love towards themselves. A giver doesn't get upset that the pastor forgot to mention their birthday from the pulpit. But a taker, oh, they'll get highly offended. A giver doesn't get upset if somehow they're bypassed in some blessing in the church. But a taker, oh, don't you miss none of their important stuff. They'll get upset. They'll get angry, and they'll make sure they let you know. And they'll make sure they threaten to leave the church and threaten to take their tithe and threaten to do whatever. And you say, by God, bless you, you know, amen, have at it. Because I'm not here, and Pastor Mix is not here, and Pastor Sulio's not here, and none of us that serve are here to wait hand and foot on one individual or several individuals. We're here to serve everybody. Everybody. And those takers, man, they'll run you ragged. They will run you ragged. The Lord Jesus Christ set the perfect example. In Mark chapter number 10 and verse 45, the Bible says, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give. To give his life a ransom for many. Y'all know the story of the Good Samaritan. The story of the Good Samaritan, the parable, the man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves. Y'all remember that passage? And they beat him up, they left him half dead, and they robbed him. You remember that a priest came by. A priest, a spiritual person. And they looked from a distance and they said, ooh, I don't want nothing to do with that. And they went on their way. You remember that a Levite came by, again, another spiritual person. And they came a little closer and they said, oh yeah, I don't want nothing to do with that. And they went on their way. But then the Samaritan came by. The Samaritan, and I personally believe that this man that was beaten and left half dead was a Jew. I personally believe that because he was traveling from Jerusalem, number one. Number two, because the Lord Jesus used a Samaritan to help him, and Jews, they hated the Samaritans. So he was a Jew. And so the Samaritan, he comes, he not only sees him from a distance, he comes up close, and he helps him. And he blesses him. And he sacrifices for him. And he's willing to inconvenience himself for that individual. And he puts him on his own animal. He takes him to an inn. He cares for them. And then he says, hey, I got to go, but take care of this fella. And whatever more money you need, I'll bring it when I come back. That's a giver. The priest and the Levite, they were takers. The thieves, of course, we know they were takers. Takers. The thieves, they say, hey, what's yours is mine. I'm going to take it. The priest and the Levite, they said, what's mine is mine. I'm going to keep it. The good Samaritan, he said, what's mine is yours. I will give it. Do we see the difference here? Thieves were takers. The priest and the Levite, they were also takers. They were just dressed totally differently. They had a different lifestyle, but they were still takers. And the good Samaritan, he says, I'm going to give. I'm going to give. I'm going to give. How much are you willing to sacrifice for eternity, to invest in other people? Let's look at point number three, and lastly, we'll be done. We see the results of giving and taking. The results of giving and taking. We saw the reason. Why do we give and take? We're either a giver primarily or we're a taker primarily. And we saw the range. How much are we willing to give? How much are we willing to take? How much are we willing to sacrifice? How much are we willing to nag and annoy people to get what we want? And then number three, the results of giving and taking. What happens when we give? Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Give and it shall be given unto you. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. God says, you give and I'll take care of making sure you're provided for. Y'all with me tonight? Everybody okay still? God says, you give and let me worry about providing for your needs. God says, hey, let me use you as a funnel, as a channel of blessing to other people. And I'll take care of making sure you are properly cared for. The Lord is telling us to be a giver. Excuse me. The Lord tells us to be a genuine giver. The giver can never outgive the Lord. You know that the Lord counts his cattle by, you know, farmers count their cattle by head. The Lord counts his cattle by hills. Amen. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He doesn't need our resources. He doesn't need our help. But we need his. We need his. And he says, man, if you would just be willing to let me use you to bless other people, I'll bless you beyond measure. I'll bless you in such great ways that you won't even be able to understand it. That's why Malachi says, bring ye the tithes into the storehouse. And he says, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. You won't even have enough room to receive it. If you just are willing to be a giver. Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. How about you married folks here tonight? Have you ever had this conversation with your spouse? Say, honey, where are we going to eat tonight? And then, oh, you know, wherever you want. Oh, no, wherever you want. And no. Anybody ever have that conversation? Okay. Trina and I have that conversation. And she says, honey, where are we going to eat tonight? And I say, Longhorn Steakhouse. That's my favorite restaurant. Anyway, but no, we sometimes, I say, well, where do you want to go? Where do you want to go? We're trying to be givers, right? We're trying to bless the other. Hey, we'll go where you want. I remember Mike McCubbin, Mike and Dana McCubbin, were members of Roosevelt Baptist Church years ago, and he said this statement has stuck with me for years. He always said, when he would have that kind of conversation with his wife, he would say to her, he would say, "I'd rather you have it than me." Aww. "I'd rather you have it than me, honey." And listen, that's the heart of a giver. That's the spirit of a giver. But too many people say, "Well, this is what I want, and I gotta have this, and my desire, and this is, I'm going to." We're being a taker. We're being a taker. You see, the taker, in his mind, he or she is always right. He or she always has to win the argument. They always have to have the last say. That's the taker, the taker, the taker. Are you a giver in your marriage? Are you a giver in your workplace? Are you a giver in your home with your children? Are you a giver in the neighborhood? Are you a giver or are you a taker? Listen, the solution to all of this entire problem of giving and taking, what's the solution? We need to recognize the problem. For number one, we need to recognize the problem. When we're being a taker, and all of us are takers from time to time, when we're being a taker, realize it, recognize it. And then we need to determine in our hearts, with God's help, to be a giver. To be a giver. I don't know about you, but I needed that message when I heard it years ago. And I said, he's right. The word of God is right. I need to be more of a giver. I need to be more consistent giver. I need to be a more generous giver. I need to be a more faithful giver. Because there's times throughout the course of my days and my weeks and months where I revert to the taker. It's not pretty. It's not only not pretty, it's not pleasant for those around me. Amen? It's not pleasant for others when we're a taker. Be a giver. Be a giver. Listen, when two people can't get along, when two people just can't fix a problem, someone or both of them are being takers. They have to have their way. Let's stop being takers and let's decide. The Lord Jesus said, it is more blessed to be a giver than it is to be a taker. I'm going to share this last illustration with you. It's actually a hymn. I didn't know it was a hymn. I had heard our pastor in Baltimore, he would quote this. I just thought it was a poem. And lo and behold, I found out later it was an actual song. Nonetheless, it's entitled Others. Others is the title of the song. Lord, help me live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that even when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Help me in all the work I do to ever be sincere and true, and know that all I do for you must needs be done for others. Let self be crucified and slain and buried deep, and all in vain may efforts be to rise again, unless to live for others. And when my work on earth is done and my new work in heaven's begun, may I forget the crown I've won while thinking still of others. The chorus to that song, those were four verses, and you would sing the chorus after each one. It goes this way. It says, others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I may live like thee. That right there describes the heart and the spirit of a giver. So how about it tonight, First Baptist Church? You individually, between you and God, where are you? Are you a giver? Are you a taker? Are you somewhere in between? Hey, let's ask the Lord tonight to help us to be more of a giver, a better giver, a giver in general. Hey, let's get on the side where God says, that right there is more blessed. What he or she is doing, that's more blessed. I don't know about you, but I want to be more blessed. And God says the way to do that, be a giver. Be a giver. Let's bow together for a prayer. Father in heaven, tonight we thank you. Lord, we love you. And Lord, we thank you for the very clear teaching in your word on this topic, on this subject. And Lord, I believe that every single person here in this room tonight, we want to be givers. Lord, we want to be more blessed. We want to have your hand of blessing on our lives and on our works, and Lord, on our words, Lord, just everything that we say and do. Lord, help us to have the spirit of a giver. Help us, dear Father, to be willing to sacrifice, to be willing to inconvenience ourselves. Lord, to be willing to make ourselves uncomfortable or allow you to make us uncomfortable enough to bless other people. Lord, we acknowledge tonight that we all have a cross to bear. And a cross implies sacrifice on our part and benefits on someone else's part. Lord, please help us to daily die to ourselves, take up our cross, and honor you and please you. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, if you're here tonight and the Lord has spoken to your heart, hey, maybe he's telling, man, you're doing a great job. You're being a giver. Man, let's come up and thank him for that. Or if you're here tonight, you say, man, you need to work on this giving thing, man. You're being a taker. Hey, let's ask the Lord for his help. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, let's all stand to our feet. No one is looking around. Let's make decisions for the Lord. If the Lord's spoken to your heart tonight, the altar is open. Maybe you're here this evening and you don't know, you don't have a church home. Maybe First Baptist Church has not made your church home and you're not a member here. Man, we'd love to have you. Maybe you're here tonight, you say, well, Pastor Morales, I've never been scripturally baptized. Maybe that's you. That's a decision. Are you willing to be a giver and sacrifice and inconvenience yourself for his sake? Or maybe you're here tonight and say, Pastor Morales, I need to work on this area of being a giver. Being a giver. I've been too much of a taker. And let's get that thing right. Let's get that thing right with the Lord. And let's ask for his forgiveness. Let's ask for his power. Let's ask for him to help us, Lord, to be a better and more mature giving Christian. How about it tonight? Like God. We're never more godly than when we're giving and when we're forgiving. How about you tonight? You want to be godly? You want to be like God? Let's give. Let's sacrifice. Let's be willing to inconvenience ourselves, to help others, to bless others, to be an encouragement to others, to allow us the influence to draw them closer to Christ. Man, that's the goal. That's the desire. Let's be givers tonight. How about a First Baptist Church? Are you a giver or are you a taker? Let's get it right. Let's fix it. Let's straighten it out. And if you're doing well with it, I commend you. Let's stay on that right path. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we're so grateful, dear God, for your goodness in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for being the greatest giver of all. Thank you, dear God, for giving to us eternal life, showing us your love, commending your love to us in that while we were yet sinners, your Son died in our place for our sins. What a tremendous gift you've given us, that gift of eternal life. And Lord, not just the gift of eternal life, Lord, but the wonderful privilege that we have to serve you, to live for you, to lead others to you. Lord, may you use us to that end. And Lord, when we get fleshy, when we get carnal, when we get the spirit of a taker, Lord, may you convict us of that. Holy Spirit, may you convict us in such a way, so strong and so powerfully, that we can't ignore it, we can't avoid it, we can't run from it. All we can do is repent and get right with you and become a giver once again. Lord, we pray that you would continue to bless First Baptist Church and all the ministries associated with this church and all the people associated with those ministries. Be with our pastor and his family as they're away. Help them, Lord, to have a wonderful time away of refreshment and help them to make it home safely. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory for all that you do. In Christ's name we pray.